Today, I want to celebrate life. I also want to say hello to my mother, who gave me life. Hi, Mom. She gave me an awesome life and raised me into who I am today. I couldn't be more grateful. I also want to say hi to Jen, who just brought life into the world, and it wasn't easy, and it's still not easy, but she's amazing. So I love you, Jen. Today we're going to celebrate life and talk about Jesus as the Lord of life. We don't just get to celebrate our lives and the ones who gave us birth today. We get to celebrate that Jesus gives us life instead of death. And today's miracle is a clear display of that power. We are currently in our post-Easter series, I Believe in Miracles, looking at the powerful works of Jesus and what they reveal about God. First, we looked at the changing of water into wine, which serves as a microcosm of how Jesus changes and transforms us. We then looked at the feeding of the 5,000 and saw God as provider. Last week, we saw Jesus focus on the right thing by healing a man with a withered hand, even though it was the Sabbath day. And today we're going to be looking at the most powerful of Jesus' miracles, the raising of Lazarus. Since it is a long text in John 11, I'm going to be skipping around through it and touching on several of the points I'd like to make. But I did want to let you know that if you'd like to read the entire thing, it is John chapter 11, verse 1 through 44. I want to begin with the setup. Jesus is out doing ministry when a messenger comes and tells him some bad news. His friend Lazarus is on his deathbed, and Jesus needs to come quickly. Whether it's healing they want, or last rites, or simply an opportunity to mourn, we don't know yet, but Jesus actually opts to stay and do ministry rather than going to see his friend. Much to the chagrin of the messenger, his disciples, and the family, Jesus' message begins thus. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant a natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Here, Jesus is reframing Lazarus' death as a temporary reality, and there's a lot of layers to that. But again, death isn't going to be the end of the story here. That's all Jesus is really communicating at this point. His disciples don't understand the full significance of what's going on, but they do use a really neat Greek word, sozein, which means to recover. And it actually has a double meaning. It means to recover physically, to be saved from a physical ailment, but it also means spiritual salvation, spiritual restoration. So while they are at the time leaning on the spiritual side of things, which is great, the precursor for Jesus will be physical restoration. So Jesus decides, after a couple of days, to go visit Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, and the story continues on verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother, and when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now, last time I preached on this text, I really focused on Martha and Mary trying to renegotiate Jesus' plan, trying to retain a sense of control. But here I want to hone in on Martha's belief in Lazarus' spiritual restoration. Had you been here in the past, he would have been restored. But now he's dead in the present. So he cannot be restored except in the resurrection to eternal life, the future. Because Lazarus is physically dead, no heartbeat, wrapped in linens, entombed, mourned, all the works, Martha has no reason to hope for anything else. Life. Lazarus' life, as far as she is concerned, is going to be something she sees no longer. Now Martha goes and tells Mary that Jesus has shown up, and Mary comes out and says pretty much the same thing, and Jesus starts to become emotional at what's unfolding. The Greek, once again, helps us. Jesus is having a major, deep, spiritual experience, and he starts to lean into the power of this experience, to tap into the power of God, and he starts to realize what he's about to do. He invokes the power of the Father to go through with it as the story continues in verse 34. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept, and once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus begins the process of what he's about to do, but we see a lot of doubt here. Again, people are thinking this is going to be a promise on a spiritual plane, not a physical raising of the dead that they're about to witness. Now, around Easter, my family watched one of the Jesus movies that's out, and in this Lazarus part, there's a poignant addition that I love. It's not necessarily biblical, but I really do think it makes sense. The disciples of Jesus, when he asks about the tomb and asks for the stone to be rolled away, say, somebody needs to stop this. This is getting sick. We need to walk away. That would have been the level of doubt and confusion at the time. But Jesus says to Martha, you, and other believers, of course, will see the glory of God. The truth is, in this particular miracle, people are going to see what they want to see. Some will see an opportunity to finally capture Jesus because he went too far with this one. Some will see an elaborate hoax. They'll say, Lazarus was in on it. He was just sick or sleeping. But those who believe in Jesus will not just see a miracle. They will see the glory of God as the story concludes at verse 41. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." And there is a dead man come to life. The glory of God on display for all to see. And the purpose of Christ is revealed. He has come to bring forth life, even when death is all around. It's really not hard to recognize how messed up our world is right now. It's not hard to recognize the power of death. But we don't have to give into it. We don't have to give ourselves over to it. Yes, things might be different right now, and it might be kind of a drag, but Jesus gives us a life option in the midst of even the most difficult circumstances. For many, this whole quarantine thing with the coronavirus isn't the hardest thing you're going through right now. But the promise of Jesus is life for you. Ultimately, the story of Lazarus is one of a resurrection that leads to death. Of course, the author John puts this here as a precursor of what is to come. Jesus will soon die on the cross. And this miracle will be used in large part as a motivator for Jesus' enemies. But even the story of the cross is one of life. Jesus comes back in the resurrection. Not in an ethereal sense, but in a real, tangible sense, as a demonstration and a reminder that death does not win. Life wins. That's what we have in our faith journeys. Life. Abundant life. And after this life on earth is done, a better life will come. An eternal life. Just as Jesus raises Lazarus in a very real, tangible way, Jesus is raised and becomes the ultimate victor over sin and over death. So like I said at the beginning, today we celebrate life. And because Jesus wins, life wins. And when life wins, we win. So I want to encourage you today, no matter what's going on, live into life. Let life in to even the most difficult circumstances. Even though it may be hard right now, even though the world may be a discouraging place, each of us can choose to live into the light and the life that is found in Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we give you thanks for being the Lord of life. As we celebrate life on this day, we also look around at a world that is desperately in need, a broken world, a hurting world. And the hurt is affecting us all in a unique way. The hurt, the discouragement is palpable. And yet, O Lord, we trust in you to cut through all of it. Just as you cut through the death of Lazarus and brought him to life, bring your light and life into each one of us and into each one of our circumstances. Lord, we pray that your healing would ensue as we continue to navigate through this crisis. We pray that your presence would be felt by all. And we pray that you would use your church to be a beacon of your light and your life for all those who are in darkness. Here in our own congregation, we want to lift up several folks who need an extra measure of your grace during this time. for Judy Ernest as she continues in her recovery, for Jeannie Oliver in isolation and discouraged. We lift up Al Murden upon the passing of his sister. We lift up Lisa Potter undergoing chemo. And for all other prayers that go unsaid this morning, we know you're a big God and hears the cries of our hearts. And for that, we give you thanks. Just as we give you thanks for this church and the church throughout the world that is your body, we give you thanks for your word that teaches us how to live. We thank you for Jesus, the Lord, our Savior, and our example, who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to let you all know about a few things going on this week in the life of our church. Construction is still moving along. This week has us continuing and really getting to the back end of the changeover from the old to the new electrical systems. And the church will also be tented this week at the conclusion of the electrical changeover. So the church is completely closed at this time. And if you need anything from the church office, really the best way to get a hold of us is to send us an email. Our phones are going to be down during this time. In case of emergency, you may call me in the church directory as my home phone number. You can leave a message there, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Now, in terms of communication, a few weeks back, we recognized the need to get a lot more timely information out to the congregation. So we have been issuing a weekly blast. I want to thank Michelle Noval for putting that together for us. It's a weekly email blast called Connect. And this is now in lieu of our monthly newsletter. So please check your email on Mondays for the Connect blast. Continue to take time to reach out to your fellow congregants and check in, see how everyone's doing. I'm still making calls to our entire congregation. I will get to you if I haven't yet. But the more of us are checking in on each other, the better off our community here is going to be. And we do ask that you continue to send in your tithes and offerings. Thank you for those of you who have continued to do so. It has been amazing, the faithfulness of this congregation, even during this difficult time. And it allows us to continue doing what we are doing. So please keep sending those in. We can pick up the mail. And you can also give online through our church website, Bradenton.church, and click on the Give link. As we continue in our worship, let us reflect and meditate on the goodness of God, who is the Lord of life.